Next item, 1349, please.
Update burglary and alarm systems code with current practices and definitions for alarm permitting.
Very good. Come on up, gentlemen. Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Mayor. Commissioners, I'm Chris Davis with the Police Bureau. I have Vincent Ferreras with me, who's the manager of our alarms program. I'm going to let him do most of the talking about this and just give you a couple-minute high-level summary of what we're proposing.
Great. Thank you.
Good morning, Commissioners, Commissioner Fish, Commissioner Saltzman, and Mayor Wheeler. I appreciate being here today.
Thanks for being here.
So just going to talk a little bit about our alarm ordinance. My name is Vinny Ferreras. I'm the alarm program manager for the Portland Police Bureau. The Portland Police Bureau Alarm Administration Unit is governed by City Code 14B10, and the last time this was revised was February 2003. City code requires monitored burglar alarms and robbery alarms to obtain a permit and subsequent annual renewals with the Portland Police Bureau, and this code sets forth the actions for response. The alarm industry has changed over the past 15 years, and this ordinance will replace the existing city code to better fit the current environment of alarm operations. Primary changes to the city code include expanded and added definitions, including definitions for do-it-yourself, DIY systems, enhanced call verification methods, and criteria for determining whether an alarm incident is false. It sets an expectation for alarm systems to be permitted within the Portland Police Bureau prior to activation with the alarm monitoring company. Includes language to assist with the reduction of the number of false alarm response incidents, including enhanced call verification, as mentioned before, educational requirements for companies to provide to system users, and sets installation guidance for DIY systems where a monitoring company is utilized. Requirements for reactivation for permit holders with excessive false alarm incidents to prove remediation before police services are restored. In addition to changing city code to reflect the more current practices in the alarm industry, it is also the intent of this legislation to assist with the deployment of resources for response to alarm incidents. At present, PPB officers are responding to an alarm incident every 40 minutes a day, each day of the year. PPB receives over 13,000 alarm-related calls for service, and this was for fiscal year 2017 and 18, which 97% of those were determined false. Responding to a high number of false alarm incidents takes away resources from other calls for service, as the time spent on each false alarm incident is just under 20 minutes. This legislation will not reduce or eliminate all false alarm responses. However, is it expected to assist with the goal of reducing the overall number of dispatch alarm incidents in an effort to better deploy resources for other emergency calls? Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Saltzman.
So, yeah, how is it going to reduce responding to false emergency calls?
Definitely. So, to give an example, for instance, so we'll say the do-it-yourself systems is an example, okay? So the DIY systems.
So, yeah, so a DIY system is something that the homeowner installs.
Yes.
They use they do have a monitoring service. Is that
correct? So they would have an outside monitoring service that would be monitoring that. And so the DIYs, what we're finding is that, for instance, somebody will put a motion sensor outside. Or somebody might put a camera facing maybe like their front window, and a car will come down the street, and the lights from the car will trigger a motion sensor. There's things that the way that the alarms are installed, that's why there's professionals that do that. And a lot of the false alarms are coming from things that are happening from the DIYs. Other things to look at in the ordinance, to help reduce the number of false alarms. Another one is we're looking at, after your fourth false alarm, that we're asking the alarm user to go to more of a verified response. So what we're saying is you've already utilized four different times this year within a permit year. Now we need to either have what's called cross-zoning, where two or more devices have to be activated for officers to show up. And if they're uncomfortable with that, then they can put cameras or audio within the location to help with that verified response, so we can verify the incident before we respond. And those are just ways to help mitigate those false alarms. But again, you know, in 2003, I was a senior in high school. I'm 34 today. And in the amount of time from then till today, technology has exploded. And there's a lot of different avenues that these false alarms go down. I am also on the Oregon Burglar and Fire Alarm Association. I'm an executive member, as well as a board member for the Northwest False Alarm Reduction Association, which is a national committee. And we have found in studies that majority of the false alarms are either from equipment malfunction or user error. So one of the things looking at the ordinance, we wanted to make sure that all parties, including the police bureau, the city of Portland, the alarm users, and the alarm industry, all have responsibilities that they have to adhere to. We all have to work together to make this work. One of the things I want to note is we did a focus group. I had 15 stakeholders from around the community, including members of the city, the mayor's office, and we worked together to craft this ordinance to make sure that we were listening to our constituents and listening to the citizens. The other thing is I'm a member of the Police Equity Council at the Police Bureau. Equity means a lot to me, and so I made sure to look at this through an equity lens as well, because I know not everyone in the city of Portland has an alarm system or can afford one. Mm-hmm. So we really wanted to make sure that people are getting responses to alarms. And with the high number of alarms that we go to, 13,000 is a lot of alarm calls. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, right now we're in a situation where this could help reduce the number and possibly give our resources to other calls for service. So
is there a threshold if you have too many false alarms? We just cut you off. We don't respond.
So after the fourth false alarm, we can suspend after that. If the alarm user does not want to go either to the cross zoning or to the more of that verified response, then what we'll do is we can suspend them from that. Yes. And then we won't go to those calls for service.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good. And I just want to underscore before I move this to second reading. Well, I guess is there any public testimony on this item?
No one signed up.
Very good. Before I move this on to second reading, this was interesting, the do-it-yourself alarm issue here. We've obviously had lots of interesting conversations about policing and police capacity. And one of the most obvious, cost-effective, and easiest ways that we can improve police response is to get rid of some of the false alarms. I was really, I'd heard anecdotally about this issue, but when I looked at the data, it's staggering to me that there are 13,000 alarm-related calls for service a year, of which 97% are determined to be false.
Correct.
And when you add that to PPB officers responding to an alarm incident every 40 minutes of the day, each and every day of the year, that is a staggering waste of police resources. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind, you're talking sworn, trained, certified officers going out for these literally thousands of false alarm calls. So I never like to presage my vote. I can always change it over the course of the next week. But this is clearly an urgent issue just with regard to best deployment of a very, very limited resource. So I appreciate your bringing it forward, and I appreciate your sharing this information with us today. So colleagues, unless there's anything else on this subject, this is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Thank you both
for
being here today.
Thank you, Commissioner.
Great.